Okay. Agenda item 12 is with regard to relations between Codex Alimentarius Commission and other international organizations. The agenda number is CX/CAC 10/33/12, and there is also a CRD from Panama. This agenda item is essentially for information, where our partners, which are international intergovernmental organizations, they make a brief presentation for about 5 minutes on their association with Codex over the past year. These information papers are contained in INF documents. We have had the pleasure of the presentation from Dr. Bernard Valla, the Director General of OIE, and he made the presentation immediately after lunch. We now take up 4 more presentations. The first one is from WTO, and their brief is contained in INF3 and also an update on STDF in INF4. May I request WTO to make a brief presentation?
Thank you, Chair. My comments will highlight just a few points from the reports which were just mentioned, and I will also provide some updates from last week's SPS committee and STDF meetings. The SPS committee continues to meet 3 times a year, and during the meeting of the committee held just last week, Mr. Flavio D'Amico from Brazil was appointed as chair of the SPS committee for the 2010-2011 period, taking over from Ms. Miriam Chavez from Argentina. The SPS committee continues to be a forum for the discussion of specific trade concerns, whereby one or more members can raise concerns about SPS requirements imposed by one or more members. A total of 294 specific trade concerns were raised in the 15 years between 1995 and March 2010. And about 80 of these, or 28% of these, related mainly to food safety issues. And in a number of these cases, concerns were raised related to deviations from international standards and sometimes Codex standards. If delegations are interested in tracking specific trade concerns raised in the committee, maybe according to product categories or members involved, they may wish to consult the SPS information management system of the WTO Secretariat, which is publicly available in the 3 official languages of the WTO, i.e. English, French and Spanish. And the website address is spsims.wto.org. With respect to transparency issues, a total of more than 1,000 SPS notifications were submitted to the WTO by members in 2009, and about half of these were again related to food safety issues. Once again, these can be searched according to various criteria through the SPS IMS. So if you want to search for notifications relating to aflatoxins, you can do that relatively quickly through the system. Again, on the issue of transparency, the Secretariat is organizing a transparency workshop which will be open to all members, observers, and observer organizations of the committee and take place back-to-back with the SPS committee meetings during the week of 18 October. The WTO will be able to fund the participation of up to 50 developing country and LDC representatives, mainly SPS inquiry points and notification authorities. For details on the program and application form, the reference documents are GSPS Gen 1021 and GSPS Gen 997. The committee has a mandate to monitor the process of international harmonization and the use of international standards. At the October 2009 and June 2010 meetings of the committee, the codex work on ractopamine was brought to the attention of the SPS committee, and some members raised concerns regarding the delays in the establishment of MRLs for ractopamine. The committee is also mandated to review the operational implementation of the SPS agreement every 4 years. The second review had been completed in 2005, and as a follow-up to one of the proposals made in the context of the second review, a special workshop was held in October 2009 on the relationship between the SPS committee and the international standard-setting bodies referenced in the SPS agreement, i.e. Codex, OIE and IPPC. The workshop resulted in 11 recommendations which seek to improve coordination and collaboration between the four bodies. And in fact, one of the recommendations of the workshop was for the international standard setting bodies to provide updates to the SPS committee earlier in the agenda of the committee meeting, and that has already been implemented during the last two meetings of the committee. And the third review of the SPS agreement was just completed in March 2010, and it recommended, among others, that the committee follow up on these 11 recommendations from the workshop. With respect to technical assistance activities of the WTO, we would first like to thank the Codex Secretariat for their valuable contributions to WTO SPS technical assistance activities, in fact, as well as TBT technical assistance activities. And I would also like to bring to the attention of delegates the SPS technical assistance activities scheduled for the rest of this year. There will be a 3-week advanced course on the SPS agreement in October and 3 4-day regional workshops in November. These regional workshops are intended for all countries, meaning WTO members as well as observers, in the following regions: Latin America, Asia and Pacific, and Central and Eastern Europe, Central Asia and Caucasus. Please note that the deadline for applications for all these activities is 9th of July, i.e. the end of this week. Interested delegations are encouraged to consult the flyer, which should be available now in front of them, because these were distributed earlier on this afternoon. And they can also consult document GSPS Gen 997. And we are particularly interested in receiving more applications from the regions of Asia-Pacific and Central and Eastern Europe, Central Asia and Caucasus, because we do sometimes have difficulties reaching out to the relevant officials in these countries, and we don't necessarily get too many applications from certain countries. Just I'd like to finish by saying a few words on the STDF, just highlighting a few recent and forthcoming developments. Recent STDF work has included a workshop on SPS indicators to measure the performance of national SPS systems, and the workshop was held just last week. And looking ahead, in October 4th to the 6th of October, the STDF will organize a workshop on SPS-related public-private partnerships. This will take place in The Hague in the Netherlands in collaboration with the Dutch Minister of Agriculture and the World Bank. Interested delegations may, of course, consult the submitted documents, but also the STDF website for further information. I think I will stop there. I'm not sure if there will be time to tackle private standards agenda item this afternoon. I'm in your hands, Chair, whether you would like me to make a brief update on private standards discussions now or under the relevant agenda item. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative of WTO, for that useful information. And I'm sure the delegates would like to take advantage of the information that has been provided today. As far as the matter relating to the private standards is concerned, I would suggest that this be taken up in the next agenda item, which is 13, agenda item 13, immediately after completing this agenda item. So maybe at that point of time, you could make your intervention. In case there are any questions by the members which they would like to ask the representative of WTO, you may kindly raise your flag, please. I do not see any flags. So we will move on. But before we move to the presentation by IAEA, the legal counsel of WHO would like to make a comment on the OIE contribution. Legal counsel, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would like to offer some point of clarification regarding the amendment, the recent amendment approved by the World Health Assembly, and that was indicated by the distinguished delegate, representative of OIE in his statement, Dr. Valla, and as well as indicated in the OIE contribution, which written contribution to this session, which is contained in document CAC/33-2. As already recalled, our World Health Assembly, meaning the WHO main governing body, approved an amendment to the existing agreement between WHO and OIE. This amendment consisted in the insertion of an additional paragraph, namely paragraph 4.7, and relating to the joint development of international standard relating to those aspects of animal production which impact on food safety. This language is nearly identical, I would say, to the one contained in the FAO-OIE agreement, even though the structure of the FAO-OIE agreement is slightly different from the WHO's one. WHO does not read this amendment as constituting a legal basis for establishing joint standards, as the amendment focuses on the joint development, meaning the joint activities aimed at developing standards rather than on joint standards. At the same time, we do consider that this amendment reflects the willingness and the recognition of the benefits of a closer cooperation between the two organizations, between WHO and OIE, on aspects relating animal production, which impact on food safety. And this was also duly reflected in the WHO's Secretariat report to the Assembly. So to the document, in the document, the WHO Secretariat prepared for our membership with the aim of helping, supporting member states in making an informative decision, in taking an informative action. And I will quote the Secretariat, and it is meant WHO Secretariat, consider that this proposal will enhance the two organizations' collaboration in promoting and improving veterinary public health and food safety security and safety in line with the objectives of the agreement. In that report was also added another portion of language which reads, it is understood from consultation with OIE that the proposed amendment will not change the status of OIE in relation to the Codex Alimentarius Commission, which remains the joint WHO-FAO food standards program and in which OIE participates in the capacity of observer, meaning that our membership has taken a decision based on also, among other elements for sure, also on these portions of information. As to the question of the establishment of joint standards within the Codex context, meaning Codex OIE joint standard, I believe that this would require a decision of the Commission of this body on the substance and on the procedure, and this should be done take into consideration and in accordance with the already established decision-making mechanisms. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, the legal counsel of WHO. I see the flag of Japan, so we'll take one comment or question, and then we shall move on.
Thank you, Chair. We have a comment regarding the presentation of OIE, so if allowed, we would like to make a statement for the record. Is it okay?
Please.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Japan considers collaboration between Codex and OIE is important. Japan welcomes the recent agreement made between WHO and OIE at the recent World Health Assembly. Japan expects that the agreement will further facilitate the collaboration between the two organizations. Japan also welcomes the recent decision of OIE to include consensus-seeking principles in the basic text of OIE to be utilized in the standard setting process of OIE. Japan strongly wishes that OIE will develop written procedures for standard setting and working principles for risk analysis in order to enhance the transparency of the work in OIE. Japan expects that the next session of the Committee on General Principles will fully discuss the matters concerned based on the OIE paper that was presented in the previous session of the CCGP. Thank you.
Thank you, Japan. In fact, there is already a circular letter sent out by the Secretariat to all the members for their inputs, and it is proposed to discuss this at the next CCGP meeting. The FAO Legal Counsel would like to take the floor, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also would like to refer to the ongoing process within the CCGP on the question of collaboration with OIE. In fact, a letter has been circulated for comments for a full discussion at the next session of CCGP to be held in Bamako, Mali. Perhaps the one clarification that I would like to add from a legal point of view on the submission by OIE is to reconfirm to the Commission that the agreement that is in place between FAO and OIE does not in any way encroach on the discretion of the Commission to determine how any collaboration with OIE is to take shape. FAO considers that the cooperation that we committed to with OIE in the agreement may take many, many forms, and one of those forms is actually the present configuration with the OIE in the role as observer to the Codex process. And any other appropriate mechanisms that the Commission may decide. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, FAO Legal Counsel. Next, we take a brief presentation from International Atomic Energy Agency, IAEA, please. Their brief is contained in INF document number 7.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and thank you to the Codex Alimentarius Commission for this opportunity to present brief remarks on the activities of the joint FAO International Atomic Energy Agency program on the application of nuclear techniques in food and agriculture. As you stated, Mr. Chairman, the details of these activities are in Information Document 7 under this Commission's agenda. we deal with the improvement or deal with food safety and consumer protection, as does the Commission, in three main areas, and I'd like to give some general information on those activities and how they relate to Codex work. The first area is responding to multiple food contamination hazards affecting food safety and trade. These activities are related to the development, adaptation, validation, and application of analytical methodologies for detecting, monitoring, and controlling food contaminants throughout the food production chain. These activities are primarily in the areas of pesticide residues and veterinary drug residues. We're also newly starting activities in traceability as an approach to control food contaminants, improve food safety, and ensure food authenticity through the use of isotope ratio measurements, which of course is a peaceful use of nuclear technologies. And we also work in the area of food contamination and other areas under our subprogram related to the technology transfer for the development of member state laboratory capacities, quality assurance and quality management capacities, including through 40 technical cooperation projects which are managed and financed through the International Atomic Energy Agency. The second major area of work is related to ionizing radiation. We, of course, work very closely with the IPPC, the International Plant Protection Convention, on the use of phytosanitary or plant health applications of food irradiation to control insect pests, especially pests of quarantine importance. We're currently developing generic treatment levels for groups of pests that are negatively affecting international trade, and this research and these activities are used to develop IPPC standards. And a new area we're going into is the use of sanitary or human health applications of food irradiation to develop foods for hospital patients, immunocompromised patients, patients with blood disorders, transplant patients, et cetera, and other potential target groups to expand the category of foodstuffs that they can consume safely when recovering from these interventions. All of these activities related to ionizing radiation, of course, increase food quality and safety, while at the same time decreasing the use of traditional or in sometimes banned fruit and vegetable fumigants and pesticides used for crop production. Last but not least, Mr. Chairman, the IAEA, and specifically the Joint FAO-IAEA Division, is responsible in collaboration with the FAO in responding to nuclear and radiological emergencies affecting food and agriculture. And this involves the improvement of interagency procedures concerning emergency preparedness and response, the application of agricultural countermeasures to mitigate immediate and longer-term effects arising from radionuclide contamination, and the elaboration and revisions of standards, specifically to those elements related to food and agriculture, concerning protection of the public that arise from these radionuclide contaminants. Just to give you an idea of some of our current coordinated research activities, again, these are listed in detail in the information paper. We've just started a coordinated research project on the implementation of nuclear techniques to improve traceability. This will be for both food safety to track contamination as well as to prove food authenticity. We would welcome applications from interested institutes, research institutes into this project. The deadline is currently set at the 30th of September of this year. As I stated, we've just started another coordination research project on the development of irradiated foods for hospital and other special dietary groups. We continue to develop in collaboration with other organizations, including the OIE and the IFAH, analytical methodologies to strengthen national residue control programs for antibiotic and anthelmintic veterinary drug residues. And last but not least, we recently provided data to enable the potential establishment of maximum levels for cadmium in seafoods arising from another research project to the 73rd session of the JECFA in their evaluation of cadmium. Looking ahead, Mr. Chairman, we will intensify our activities for the development and application of research related to technical assistance, as I said, through our technical assistance programs, technology transfer, and the elaboration or assisting in the elaboration of standards. We'll increase collaboration with FAO and IEA member states in the implementation of food safety policy and regulatory programs for the establishment of national and, more importantly, regional food control laboratories, and will continue increasing interagency collaboration in the management of nuclear preparedness and response procedures for the protection of the public and food supplies. Last but not least, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to state that we do have an IAEA post, a professional post, at our Seibersdorf laboratories in Vienna, for a food safety specialist specific to the area of traceability, and we would, of course, welcome applications from any qualified candidates in this regard. Thank you once again, Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much, a representative of IAEA. Next, we would like to invite OIML to make a very brief presentation. We would urge you to limit it within 5 minutes. Their brief is contained in INF document number 5. OIML, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The document that you refer to contains an update of the information that the OIML provided to the 31st and 32nd sessions of this commission. The International Organization of Legal Metrology is an intergovernmental organization that develops and publishes recommendations and documents which are used by countries as the basis for their national regulations for measuring instruments and methods of measurement in areas such as trade, consumer protection, health and safety, environmental protection, and traffic control. OIML recommendations are both model regulations and international standards under the terms of the WTO-TBT agreement. There is an overlap in the scope of Codex standards and OIML recommendations as concerns provisions for the control of the quantity of product or the content in prepackages. The OIML has two recommendations on the control of the quantity of product in prepackages and the associated labeling of prepackages. While the Codex General Standard on Food Labeling and many Codex product standards also contain provisions for the content and labeling of prepackages. Codex and OIML provisions appear not to be fully in line, which leads to different interpretations of the requirements. We continue to be in communication with the Codex Committee on Food Labeling to discuss any discrepancies and resolve them as appropriate. Currently, the OIML is in the process of revising the two recommendations on prepackaged products. We would welcome input from the Codex community so that the specific needs relevant to food products in prepackages can be taken into account. Finally, I would like to mention that OML is developing a certification system for the quantity of product in prepackages. To ensure that this system is compatible with other certification systems used in international trade, the OML closely monitors the work of the Codex Committee for Food Inspection and Certification Systems. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you very much, representative of OIML, for that brief presentation. Next is with us OECD, and their information is contained in INF document number 1, and I invite the representative of OECD to make a brief presentation. OECD, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. First of all, I would like to thank to the Codex Commission and the Secretariat for the possibility to make a brief presentation on the OECD activities, which is relevant to the Codex Alimentarius Commission. In the background document, we gave details of four activities of OECD, which is relevant to the Codex Commission. They are the best on our activities on pesticides, novel foods, biotechnology, and the fruit and vegetable scheme. All OECD documents and guidelines, which are mentioned in the document, are available on our website from the web addresses given in the document. In this short PowerPoint presentation which we prepared, we would like to focus on the fruit and vegetable schemes because we believe that this is the our activities where we can further strengthen the our cooperation with the Codex Commission. So just briefly about OECD, we are intergovernmental organization with 31 member countries, and we address these economical, social, and governance challenges of globalizations. Regarding food and agriculture activities, we recently organized a meeting of agricultural ministers with the participation of the 31 member countries and key emerging economy ministers from key emerging economies. After this this meeting was addressed the food and agriculture policies for a sustainable future. And after this meeting, a communique was published, which one point is that the members recognized the need for an appropriate regulatory and policy framework in agriculture and food sector. This is where we are coming into the picture. We are working for the codes and schemes unit. The fruit and vegetable scheme is one individual program of this unit. We have another three on seed schemes, the tractor codes, and the forest seed and plant scheme. We are part two program of the OECD, which means the members has to contribute our activities, so they pay annual fee. Regarding the memberships, we are open to all countries, not only OECD member countries, but all member countries of the United Nations and the WTO. At the moment, we have 25 member countries in the fruit and vegetable scheme. Our objective is to facilitate trade through harmonized application of interpretation of international fruit and vegetable standards. Here you can see a short list of our activities. Just mentioning the core activities that we provide a framework of export quality inspection system to our member countries, and this system has three elements. We apply international standards, we have our own inspection methods, and we issue conformity certificates, so it is a certification scheme. The supporting activities actually support the implementation of this quality inspection system. We organize meetings of heads of national inspection services. We organize peer reviews, market analysis of fruit and vegetable products, and we also have capacity building activities, training courses, and workshops. Regarding publication, our flagship publication is explanatory brochures on international fruit and vegetable quality standards. And we also publish guidelines on quality inspection methods, risk analysis. Now I just want to emphasize some area when we think that we could work closer with the Codex Alimentarius Commission. First is about the standards. We do not develop standards at the moment. We adopt standards from other international organizations such as the UNECE, and we plan to adopt standards from the Codex Commission on Fruit and Vegetables. Our plan is the first standard would be on bananas. And once it is adopted as an OECD standard, we would develop an explanatory brochure on banana standard, which could be interesting for Codex countries. Regarding quality inspection methods, our inspection methods is unique in international level, and it's applied in many countries. For example, in EU member countries, the application is compulsory as it is a part of the EU legislation. We also developing a guidelines on quality inspection, and it is expected to be adopted in 2010 December. This guideline would be also interesting for Codex Alimentarius Commission, as I mentioned, this is unique in international trade. So I would like to turn the microphone to my colleague, who is the chair of the Fruit and Vegetable Scheme, to finish the second part of the presentation. Thank you.
OECD, I would request you to please summarize as soon as possible.
Okay. Regarding distant learning tool, we would like to check the possibility to develop in a joint project with the FAO Secretariat. The aim of the project is to provide advice, assistance, and sufficient training tools on standards, guidelines, methodology for the countries. As FAO does not have a quality inspection method for fresh food and vegetable inspection, therefore it would mean added value to the FAO. We would like to share efforts with the FAO, experience with developing distance learning tool, and the OECD experience and expertise with a quality inspection method for fresh food and vegetables. The pilot project is on e-learning tools on quality inspection, which enables everyone with cost saving and access and cost and time saving while using this system, and enable developing countries very easily to practice in this system, and it would be a web-based application. Concerning capacity building, workshop, and training courses.
OECD, could you please summarize, because we need to move on. We are almost at 5:30 and we have more agenda items on board.
So please, one more slide, please. So a little bit our recent publication. So we just published a peer review of Morocco from 2009. It was the third peer review we have made since the last 2 years. We recently published the apricot brochure, the peaches and nectarines brochure, and we are going to publish very soon the citrus interpretative brochure, which is a little bit different from what was until now, with range concept, and you can see some example now on the screen. And okay, thank you very much, Chairman, for the opportunity to introduce our work here in this forum.
Thank you very much, representatives of OECD. I'm sorry to have been insisting on a time frame because of the short time that we have at our disposal. I take this opportunity to thank all the organizations who have made the presentations, and we look forward to continued cooperation from the international intergovernmental organizations. Next, we would like to report to the Commission is about the review of applications from international non-governmental organizations that were received and were considered by the 63rd session of the Executive Committee as well as the 64th session of the Executive Committee. There were five applications which were considered and the Executive Committee has submitted its opinion to the Directors General of FAO and WHO. This is for information, and the same is contained in the reports of the Executive Committee. Lastly, under this agenda, we would like to invite Mr. McKinley, Deputy Secretary General of ISO, to make a brief presentation on their association with Codex. Mr. McKinley, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity to comment as an observer to the Commission. ISO and Codex have a long history of cooperation and complementary work. The details of relevant ISO work are provided in document CAC 33-INF-6, so I won't go into any details of that. As the member states of the Commission would know, ISO is an international non-governmental organization consisting of the standards institutes of 163 countries. That said, many of ISO's 163 standards institutes are themselves governments, and virtually all of ISO's members have in some way been designated by their government a national role for voluntary standardization. ISO also formally develops international standards. To do this, ISO uses explicit multi-stakeholder development processes and adheres to essential international standardization disciplines such as transparency, openness, consensus, and developing country engagement. ISO has more than 18,000 published standards, international standards, with more than 800 of these in the food sector. I wish to note in particular point 6 in our information document. ISO recently published a special brochure explaining the distinction of ISO standards from private standards and schemes. This brochure is available on the tables on the main floor, and there's a link in the document, in our information document, in our report to Codex. This issue will be discussed in the next agenda item and at tomorrow's workshop, and we look forward to the deliberations. I would only note a point of principle. A key message of the brochure is the obvious benefit of simplifying and harmonizing the landscape of standards. So we hope that Codex will continue to support the distinction of ISO from the various other private food standards and schemes. Although it may be convenient for some to lump ISO into such a category, it is not at all accurate. I wish to be clear on another issue. It's not ISO's wish to be recognized as a fourth sister developing international standards under the WTO-SPS agreement. But it is essential that the distinction continues to be made between ISO and other private initiatives and schemes in order to avoid proliferation and to encourage appropriate international harmonization and coherence. I wish also to comment on developing country engagement in ISO's work. Over the last 5 years, ISO has increased technical assistance to developing countries almost fourfold, last year exceeding 2.2 million Swiss francs to support participation in its technical work, attendance at ISO meetings, and capacity building to use and implement ISO standards. As of early 2010, ISO had organized 38 events on food safety management systems in several countries involving more than 2,300 participants. We have also provided some sponsorships of developing country experts to attend our TC34 meetings on food products. On this issue, ISO would be pleased to work more closely with Codex to better communicate and potentially coordinate financial support and capacity building efforts for the involvement of developing countries in international standardization. I also wish to comment on the ISO and Codex standards development processes discussed a little bit earlier. Here, we would also be pleased to work with Codex to share and exchange best practices, systems, and procedures for international standards development. Such a review of approaches could include, for example, ways for ISO to more explicitly demonstrate the use of science and risk-based justification in the development of relevant ISO international standards in the food sector. And finally, we would be pleased to discuss with Codex opportunities for further communication on the excellent cooperation between our two organizations, highlighting ISO and Codex's ongoing work program, benefits, complementarity, and outcomes. Thank you, Chair, for the opportunity to comment.
Thank you very much, Mr. McKinley, for that succinct presentation. and we do have a very close cooperation with ISO. Delegates, I know you must be having some questions in mind, but we do not have the time for this as we have other agenda items on board. And we would suggest that you can have direct discussions with the representatives of the organizations that have just presented their association with Codex. With this, I would like to thank ISO, Mr. McKinley, for the ongoing cooperation, and we sincerely hope for ongoing further cooperation with the Codex. I know I can see that there is a flag from Morocco. We do not have the time to have a discussion at this stage, because once we start, then this we will have more questions also. Delegates, with this, I come to a close of the agenda items assigned to me in this commission, and I would thank all of you for the cooperation and support that you have provided to me. Thank you very much, interpreters also. Thank you. I believe FAO would like to make an announcement. FAO, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I don't want to hold the interruption that you are planning, but I wanted to show during the interruption a short video that FAO has on its website, which relates to a campaign that FAO has launched last month on 1 billion hungry. I know this is this commission deals mainly with food safety and quality, but we have also in FAO we are looking at the food security, and also we are trying to fight against hunger and malnutrition across the world. And this campaign calls on everyone, on us, to sign a petition so that by October 2010, at the next World Food Day, there will be a minimum of 1 million signatures. There are, of course, over 100,000 signatures that have been already made, and I would like to call on you to consider signing the petition by visiting the FAO website and seeing or informing yourself about the campaign. And if you are convinced of the importance of this issue, you may sign the petition. During the interruption, so that those that are here can see the video and can decide on the signing of the petition. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Boutrif. Secretariat would like to make an announcement, please.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. As we have come to the end of this session, now we will do exactly as we did yesterday. There will be half an hour break, and then we will resume for a new session for the evening session to discuss the rest of the agenda items that we have to discuss. So that would be now half an hour break. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, delegates, we are ready to continue. I am going to chair agenda point 13 about impact of private standards, and also agenda point 14, where we have already taken number 14A, the project and trust fund, and what is left is 14B, other matters arising from FAO and WHO. We will take them in the order. But before we start working on agenda point 13, I have been reminded that under agenda item 12, there was a flag from Morocco who wanted to have comments on the presentation from one of the organizations. So before we turn to 13, I should like to ask or to give the floor to Morocco to give their comments. And I certainly hope that it's going to be brief and precise. Morocco, please.
Thank you, Mr. President. I don't have any comments about the interventions of the international organization. Actually, I have a statement, a general statement, on how our Codex organization deals with the relations with other organizations. I think that Codex is very shy in their relationship with the other organization, in the sense that the Codex standards are really the ones that are used to solve conflicts inside the WTO organization. And still, so in that sense, Codex should be very should take the lead in these standards that are prepared and taken in other organization. And I suggest that more joint cooperation should be taken, and also the discussion in this kind of point, like the point 12 in the agenda, should not be simply an information point, but also discuss a certain number of points that Codex should take and go to the other organization to make the Codex standards more efficient throughout the world. Thank you, Mr.
Thank you, Morocco, for that statement. I'm sure that the Secretariat will make sure it is taken note of in the report. And then I consider agenda point 12 to be finalized, and I don't see any reactions to that conclusion.